On the eve of a major election, what should Christians do? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by our Associate Director, Janet Marana, and our guest, David Barton, President and Founder of Wall Builders. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
We're on the eve of a major election. What should Christians do?
Vote. And then get everybody else they know to vote. And let me put a little caveat in there. Vote and vote biblically. And then get everybody else they know to vote. It's not enough to vote. You have to vote biblically. And you have to make the analysis based on biblical stands, where the scripture comes down on a number of issues. And I would safely say you can rank those issues. I talked to Christians after the last election who voted, and in my opinion, had voted on the wrong side biblically. And I asked them, how can you do this? And they said, well, this candidate has a great stand with the poor and what they're doing to the poor. And I said, all right. I buy that that is a biblical issue. I mean, we know in James 1:26, pure religion, undefiled before God, to help the poor and orphans. I buy that. But I'll tell you, the poor doesn't make God's top 10. You take the Ten Commandments, preservation of innocent life does make it. Mm-hmm. Preservation of marriage and morality does make it. Mm-hmm. God puts those in the top 10. The poor don't make the top 10. Now, it's an important issue, but it shouldn't. So you can rank the issues even as you look at it biblically. There's some that are more important than others, and protection of life is one. Protection of marriage is another.
It's almost like those issues are what you call the foundation. So you take, like what you're referring to, Dave, is the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. So the Ten Commandments are your foundational issues. All the other issues are important. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have that solid foundation protected, you can't feed the poor. You can't give them housing. You can't provide great education if they don't have life first.
And that's what the Ten Commandments, the Founding Fathers, called the moral law. And that is what establishes rights and wrongs in the nation, is that document. And it is the heart of everything else. And if you can't deal with the other stuff and get the priorities right, it's like trying to build the 12th floor of a building and then going back and putting the foundation under it later. It doesn't work that way. You got to get the foundations right.
Now, you just mentioned the Founding Fathers used the Ten Commandments as a basis for our early formation documents, like Declaration of Independence or Constitution.
Absolutely.
Where? I mean, like, because I know people are going to say that, oh, come on. You know, where is that in our founding documents?
I've been involved in a number of cases on the Ten Commandments in federal courts and in state courts. And one of the things that we have done is we have prepared a brief that we actually have on our website. We're using those cases on the Ten Commandments, on the Founding Fathers, and on Ten Commandments in early law. Because those on the other side say, Ten Commandments, that's not part of American law, that's Jewish law. It doesn't have anything to do with America. And by the way, even if it did, it would only be the second tablet, Commands 6 through 10, not the first tablet, Commands 1 through 5. I don't even know how they knew what command is on each tablet, but they think they do. ACLU thinks they know a lot of stuff. But that's their argument. And so we did this brief saying, all right, the first code of laws ever passed in America, 1610 in Virginia, contained every one of the Ten Commandments. Said, Ten Commandments, Bible verse, therefore this civil law. Same was done throughout most of the original colonies as they formed their laws. You get at the time of the Founding Fathers, same thing. We have over 500 Supreme Court decisions at either state or federal Supreme Court level where they quote the Ten Commandments as the absolute final word on the issues. And so for American jurisprudence, that's the way it was. And for a Christian, it needs to be that way in our thinking, that what God has said is the most important needs to be the most important. That doesn't mean other things aren't important, but there is a ranking to them. And come voting time, when that vote comes, we got to get our priorities right according to the way that God sees things and lines them out in the scriptures. And again, the Ten Commandments, life and marriage are two of the things that go in his top ten. They're big to him.
You know, I've often pointed out to voters as they try to make their decisions in this election that if a candidate came forward and said, I support terrorism, not only would you not vote for that candidate, but you wouldn't even ask his position on the other issues.
That's right.
You don't even bother, because even though all those other positions might be great, he's disqualified himself by standing up for something which disregards the claims of innocent human life. Mm-hmm. That is the bottom line. But, of course, now we're in the phase where there may still be people who haven't made up their minds, and this is where we offer websites like votinginfo.org, which we invite our viewers to go to and see where candidates stand. And also gospeloflife.com/vote, and there'll be information there. Of course, your website is wallbuilders.com, and I'm sure you have some some helpful
information. We've got a link on the front, 2004 election aides.
Okay.
Many of the same type of pieces of information and links to other places that will help people.
Right.
It's the same thing.
So that at this late stage, people who have still not made up their minds or are trying to persuade maybe their relatives and yeah. friends can use those resources.
That's right.
But we're also at a point now where really the election boils down to turnout, doesn't it? I mean, it's who's going to show up at the polls. And let's talk a little bit about what people should be doing along those lines to help the turnout.
And you're right, it is who shows up. And at this point, you forget every poll you've heard. You forget every exit poll you've heard.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter because those aren't the people who are coming to vote. They may or they may not. But they're people who are polled. And you say, oh, well, I already see how this is going to end. No, you don't. Just because they answered the poll doesn't mean they're going to go vote. And so first thing is this thing, you forget all the polls you've heard, whatever side you're on, doesn't matter. You think your side's going to win by 10 points, so I'm sitting home because this is over and done with. Not by a long shot. It's not over and done with till Wednesday morning after all the votes are counted and everything's announced.
Mm-hmm.
So this is far from over. You've done work. You've tried to get people involved. You don't stop now. You don't stop till this thing is over late Tuesday night sometime. So one thing is hopefully we've been doing early voting and getting people out to vote. But now we've made up our mind that we're going to vote because we did an early vote or whatever. When you come get the chance to vote tomorrow, don't wait till the last minute to do it. Don't wait till the polls close at 7. I'm going to be there at 6:50. You had a flat tire. You didn't count. Engine blew up. You go vote first thing in the morning. You'll be the first one in line at 7 o'clock. Get that over and done with. Spend the rest of the day contacting every person you know to go vote. Any list you have, people you go to church with, people you go to Sunday school with, people that are on your soccer team or your basketball team or anything you know, you go right down that list and say, you've got to go vote. Start making those calls Monday. Say tomorrow's election day, you got to go vote. Make the calls on Tuesday. Say, have you gone to vote yet? I mean, literally, we need to be all over this for every person we can turn out individually. I may can only turn out 5 people. If everybody would turn out 5 people, we would have a great voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Don't set massive heights for yourself. Don't say, I'm going to turn out 4,000 people in my community. Set attainable goals and then do them. We've got to go after this.
Yeah, by now, people, too, they're looking at their Christmas card list. You know, they're
That's
looking
right.
ahead. They're
Excellent
buying
point.
Their Christmas cards. Well, take those same people
That's
that you're
right.
going to send a card to, give them that call to make sure they get out to vote now.
That's exactly yeah. right. And it's one of the things, I can't think of anybody that I would talk to. The Christmas card list, those are the people you think of once a year. They're still your friends. You still talk to them. That's why you send them a card.
Right.
That's a great list to go down. It's a Christmas card list. Absolutely.
Right.
Now, somebody calls their friend and they say, you know, there's this election, but I only have one vote. That won't really matter. What do people respond to that?
People's response to one vote is, doesn't matter how I think part of what we've lost in America is we've become too pragmatic as opposed to just doing what's right. Well, I don't know that my vote's going to make any difference, so I'm not going to vote. Or we like to tell the stories of where one vote did make a difference, therefore go vote.
Mm-hmm.
What we ought to be saying is, what is my duty to do? I have a duty to vote, regardless of whether anybody else in the nation does or not. It's a vote that God has entrusted to me. He's given me the stewardship of this vote, and he says, I've given you a nation. Here's a vote you can take care of it with. Take care of it. We don't say, well, Lord, will my vote make a difference? I mean, that's not what he's asking. He's given us a stewardship. We should use that vote to go take care of the nation. And so part of that is we've got to get beyond the vote, beyond the point of, well, I will weigh in if it makes a difference. That's not an issue. You weigh in because it's the right thing to do, period.
No, it's like littering. If I throw my garbage out on the sidewalk, well, does that make a difference how clean the nation is?
Yeah.
Hardly. But it's not the right thing
it's
to do.
It's not the right thing to do. That's exactly right. You do the right thing to do. And we've got to get people who vote because it's the right thing to do, not because we can win this or, my gosh, we're 9 points down, so there's no use in me voting. It has nothing to do with whether we're up or down. It's the right thing to do every time, every opportunity. It's the right thing to do, and we do it.
Now, I find people lose sight of the fact that voting in this country, it's a privilege. You know, it's really a privilege of being an American citizen. From the time I was a young little girl, my father always, fought in World War II, fought for freedom for this country. And he taught us, raised us on voting was a privilege and a right, and you had to do it. It was kind of like we were just raised on
it's
it.
It's a duty. It's
you know,
it's part of it.
And I think, unfortunately, we've lost that a lot
What's
in
happened,
today.
Especially as we prosper in America, and, you know, thank God we've prospered in America, but we've let that become a curse. If you remember in Deuteronomy particularly, as Moses is saying, all right, we've been through the wilderness, we're about to hit the promised land, and what's going to happen? You get the promised land, you get a land of milk and honey. and that blessing's going to become a curse for you. You're going to become prosperous. You're going to think, look what we've done for ourselves. Look how great that. And when you forget God, and in many ways, that's where we are in America. We're so prosperous. We look at how the economy affects us, what my job's going to be, what the Dow Jones is doing, what can the president do to make my bank account bigger. And you can't let that blessing become a curse. And so what happens is we set that vote over there as if it's an option. You know, we've forgotten how hard it was to get that initially, how hard we worked to keep that, how much influence it's had over the years, and now we just take it for granted, and we just can't let the blessing become a curse.
Let's talk about party voting for a moment. You know, a lot of people, there's nothing wrong with belonging to a political party. There's nothing wrong with being loyal to a political party. But there's something very wrong when a person's loyalty to a party is greater than their loyalty to God and moral principles.
That's exactly right.
And we've got a lot of people who vote according to a certain party, not even knowing who this person is.
That's right.
They look at the letter after the name, but not at the name.
That's right.
Or what that person stands for, or what that party stands for. And they're not fulfilling their moral responsibility,
that's
are
right.
they, unless they find out who that person is.
Who that person is and what they stand for. There is a great example from history on this. One of my favorite founding fathers, a guy named Benjamin Rush. He signed the Declaration of Independence. He is the father of modern medicine. He's called the father of public schools under the Constitution. When he died in 1813, the other founders, John Adams and Jefferson, said he was one of the top three founders. So this guy, huge name. We don't ever talk about him anymore. But this man, top three founder, signed the Declaration. He later served in three different presidential administrations, Jefferson, Adams, then Jefferson, then Madison. Now, all three of those guys came from three different political parties. So here's a guy who is partisan. He was part of a party. He signs a declaration. He's in a party. And then he searched for guys from three different parties. And somebody went to him one time and said, what's your party affiliation? This was his answer. He says, I've alternately been called an aristocrat and a Democrat. He says, I'm neither. He says, I'm a Christocrat. And that's exactly right. I'm going to vote what Christ would, if Christ had opportunity to vote for which of these candidates, which one would he vote for? Mm. And that's who I'm going to vote for. And Christ is not real impressed with parties. I mean, you have to have parties. I'm a firm believer in parties. I advocate Christians getting involved in parties. We got to do that. But the scripture, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say when the Democrats, Republicans, when the Green Party, when the Constitutional Party. It doesn't say when a party rules. It says when the righteous rule.
Yes.
And that's what we as voters have to do, is say which one is righteous by the stands that God has put forth. If Jesus Christ were casting a vote for these two guys, who would he vote for? Real simple. That's who I'm going to vote for, too. Mm-hmm. That's that Christocrat mentality. And I'll pick up on what you said, too, Father. George Washington, in his final farewell address, final speech he gave, summing up why America had become a prosperous nation, what made us different, warned against the love of a political party above the love of principles. I mean, even back then, he's saying the love of a political party is the bane. He called it the bane of society. Mm. When you love a party more than you love principles, that is a curse on a nation. Love parties, that's fine. You have to have parties. That's how candidates advance. That's how laws are made. It's fine. Just love the good candidates more than you love the party. And that's a key for Christian voting.
Well, the other thing, too, is parties have changed. I mean, the Democratic Party, say, what it was when my dad was a little boy and him growing up was one thing. What the Democratic Party, the platform is today, is totally different. Likewise, the Republican Party has changed and shifted. So that's why I don't think you can say I'm going to vote for a party. You have to look at that candidate. And even within each party, we know there are pro-life Democrats and there are Democrats who support abortion. There are pro-life Republicans, but there are also Republicans who are pro-abortion.
That's right.
So you can't go by that party and the letter after the name. You've got to go in there and really know those candidates. And we've told them voting info, rightfather.org is where you find out the information. But know the Christ-like principles. Who's got those principles? And that's how you vote, not by that letter.
And it's like saying, I had a Model T Ford when I was young, and I'll always vote Model T. No,
right.
Fords change over time.
Right.
Chrysler's change over time. Chevy's change. Parties change over time.
That's right.
Because they reflect the people who are involved in it at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. And that's where party platforms are so interesting, because party platforms reflect what the bulk of that party believes at that time. It takes its delegates to make a platform. One of the things we've done on our website is we've taken both political party platforms for the last 40 years on biblical issues. and said, here's what this party says about abortion. Here's what this party says. Here's what this one says about homosexuality. Here's what this one says. Mm-hmm. Here's what this one says about religious expression. Here's what this one says. So we just put it out there so that you can see. And there's been some changes in parties. But you can also see where they are today.
So this is wallbuilders.com. People can get this information right now, even as
right
they're still watching. Hope to fire up that computer.
Fire it up, go to it, and they can compare the two parties right now.
We have no excuse. The information is there. We're not talking about some kind of mystery information that we have to go digging
That's
for.
Right. It's
or research paper that we have to produce. The information is right there.
And you made such a good point, too. We should not be bound by what this party was at the time of our parents or grandparents or anything else. Right. It's what it is right now. What is it today?
And that candidate, because like I just said, there are people in the same party.
Who are out of line with their own party.
Exactly.
That's right.
So you have to look at that. And the other thing I find is that, say, church people who were in church praise and worship, they go into the voting booth, they leave that behind. Yeah. You know, they don't realize that the same hands they lifted to God in worship are the same ones that are going to use to cast the ballot. They're not a different, you know, you're not a private citizen, you know, as far as your worship, and then when you go to vote, you're someplace, it's the same thing, and you take that with you.
We have a tendency today to compartmentalize our faith.
Right.
And that's not right. But for 50 years, the courts have told us, guys, your faith is really important. Your faith is so important, you got a whole amendment to the Constitution. Right. Now, what we need you to do is keep your faith at church and at home. We don't want to see it out here in schools, and we don't want to see it over in the courthouse. And so we've had a 50-year impression on us that says faith belongs here, but it doesn't belong here. And I guarantee you, God doesn't buy that. Right. I mean, can you imagine being at the great white throne judgment and everybody's coming before, and God opens all the books, and everybody's coming and going through deeds and thoughts and here comes a guy, and God says, oh, close the books. That guy's in politics. My word doesn't apply to politics. You know, it's not going to happen. God believes that his principles apply to every facet of life. And for us to drop that thinking when we go in the ballot booth, and then come back out and pick up Christian thinking, doesn't work. You can't compartmentalize your faith.
And our founding fathers thought that, too, from what you've told us.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, They have several statements that probably wouldn't comport with most Christians today, but they quoted the scriptures in saying it. I mean, they'll quote Exodus 18:21 on voting, Proverbs 29:2 on voting. Noah Webster, who was one of the first guys to call for the Constitutional Convention, he was a soldier in the Revolution. He says, if you vote for someone who is known to be immoral, you are a traitor to your country.
Wow.
And he based that on Matthew 7.
Now,
you know, it's just good stuff.
We have the phenomenon of people are going to be calling their friends if they listen to what we're advising them to do on this program. And some of the friends are going to say, oh, gee, you know, I should have. I'm not going to be able to get to the polls. I have my children here, nobody to take care of them. How should people respond?
I'm on my way right now to watch your kids while you go vote. It'll take you 15 minutes. I'm on my way. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Or, it's one of the best things people can do.
That's right. Or have fun. Get some of your church members, and let's have a little voting ministry here on that day. And we're all going to get together here. And if somebody needs it, then you go take care of their kids, and I'll call the next ones. And if they need it, you can go. This is an elderly person. They need a ride to the polls, so you go take them to the polls. Whatever. I mean, that's a real ministry to be able to help people vote and exercise that duty.
Yeah, Dave, that makes me think that most churches have a nursery school during services that they can put the children in there while the parents worship. Well, why can't the people who run that nursery service on Sunday open that up on Election Day?
Yeah.
And then people, that church family knows they can drop our kids off and go vote.
I think people should take the day off from work on Election Day and make themselves available.
Great vacation day.
Yes.
Because that's what better service to your country than to give 12 hours of your time to help the whole nation. That's a great point, Father. That's a great thing to do.
And one question I have for you now, a lot of times people are even walking to the polls, still not sure who they're going to vote for. And especially, and we're talking about all levels of government here.
That's
obviously, we have a presidential race, but the Senate, the Congress, and then your local representatives, and right down to the city council, school boards. And there's so many people. Now, a lot of people might not be sure where these people stand. Is it lawful for people to have flyers of information, handing them out near the polling place? How
close
does that
to,
work?
You can have flyers of information handed out, but you cannot have candidate flyers handed out.
Mm-hmm.
So in a polling place, I think it's, 100 feet or 200 feet or something, there's some footage that you can't be giving out, vote for so-and-so. You can't do that. But giving out voting guides, absolutely. You can even carry a voting guide with you in there where somebody's already said, I've checked the moral stance of these guys, vote for this one, don't vote for this. You can do that. You can carry it right in the booth.
Right out on the public sidewalk, and as folks are approaching, give them this last minute
information.
Give
them information, but they can't lobby for a candidate.
Right.
Now, they can if they're more. That's right. They can if
they're further away.
200 feet or whatever the zone is.
Yes. Yes.
And there's always a sign posted that says, no pamphleteering, no electioneering passed here.
From that point on.
You get back out that 2 feet outside and do all you want to.
And this would be a good day to do that too. I mean, as we, and down to the wire here, you know, go out. There's a lot of local groups that, and if people need information, by the way, we're going to put up a toll-free number here, 888-735-3448. It's on the screen, and people can get information about where in their communities they can get the literature to hand out at the last minute, because we've been obviously promoting this heavily, and and this is one of the ways we help our fellow citizens and help our fellow Christians.
You know, a lot of people also don't pay attention. All the local papers, usually a day or two before election, they have a sample ballot in the paper. And you can use that as your homework sheet. You know, everyone should be right now in the homework mode. Right now, you know, you got till tomorrow morning to have your homework assignment completed. Go one by one and look at the candidates carefully ahead of time. Don't wait till you're inside that booth, because then it's a little too late.
And I'll tell you, too, it's also always the national news is going to have the top of the ticket up there. So we're looking at the presidential race, and that's the big stuff, and then maybe the U.S. Senate next, and maybe House. And so down here in these little public utility districts or school boards or city council, who knows anything? And you got to use the same standards that those go. Well, you know, my public utility district, who cares whether he's pro-life or not? It's real simple. He may be your next mayor. He may be your next state rep, and they work right at the line. It's a whole lot easier to whip them when they're low than to whip them when they become Speaker of the House.
That's right.
And it's just, you got to keep those standards all the way up on voting.
Well, as we've said in our political ads, if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how's he supposed to respect yours? And that goes for every level of government. Every level of government. Well, thanks for all that you've done. Wallbuilders.com, that's the place people should be going. And, Janet, thank you also. It's been great having you both on the program. And let's pray now for our nation in these next couple of days that we make the right choices.
That's right.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us at Gospel of Life. We want to make an appeal to you today. The Lord Jesus Christ has chosen you from all eternity to exist at this moment of time. Could have created you 100 years ago, could have chosen to create you 100 years from now, but he chose to create you now. He could have put you in Africa, he could have put you in Australia, but he put you in America. And he put you now watching this program for a reason. He has put his word in your heart, and now he expects you to bring it into the voting booth. Do not disappoint him. Do not disappoint your fellow citizens. Stay with us now for our action segment, and remember to get out and vote. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our action segment. At gospeloflife.com, you will find everything that we're going to talk about now in great detail and many other things that you can do as Election Day approaches. It's very important to take note of the many products we have available and of the many things you can do with them. So, Janet, where do we start?
Well, we want to start with the legal activity. And very often when people want to distribute literature, people say, oh, you can't be here, you can't be there. And what we have is a booklet that is called the Legal Symposium Booklet that we had at the Ave Maria School of Law. Legal experts from around the country were there. And this booklet, you present it to your pastor or leaders of groups so that they know exactly what they can and can't do.
The Church and Politics, Are We As Restricted As We Think?
That's
the name of the seminar, and that booklet is available. They can also listen to the entire seminar on our website, audio, and also download in print version from the website the texts of those presentations.
That's right. The other thing is we want to talk about now moving into education and how to educate your voters. Well, we have several resources, starting with a thing called Living the Gospel of Life, and that's a document created by the United States bishops in 1998. And we've written a study guide for that booklet. We're encouraging people in, like, Bible study groups, prayer groups, or even if you want to get some friends over your home and go through that document with the study guide, and that will really make people realize why abortion and euthanasia are your fundamental issues when you're looking at candidates.
And that study guide also can be followed on the Internet. And even though that document was written by the Catholic bishops, it's not about Catholic doctrine as such. It's about what Christians need to do in America to take part in elections.
That's correct. Then moving along, you know, we have to think about little things. Some people are not going to read a lot of information. We have nice little brochures that can go in a parish literature rack. They can be distributed at your meetings. And these are titles such as Caesar Must Obey God, religious beliefs, abortion, and the law.
And those are available in English and Spanish, the two you
correct.
Just mentioned.
Those two are English and Spanish. And then before on one of these programs, we talked about the idea of if someone supported terrorism, you wouldn't even ask where they were on the other issues. Well, that's how we feel about abortion. Well, we have a brochure that talks about that whole principle called You Wouldn't Even Ask. Then there's another one that talks about 10 responses to pro-abortion politicians. And this goes through those arguments that not just the politicians, but even other people who are pro-abortion will use. And this gives you a great way to have those, you know, as you say, cocktail party conversations with people, or when you're sitting around at a meeting, waiting for a meeting to start. It's a great way to convince people on the issue.
The Reflections on the Political Responsibility of Christians is another booklet we have, as well as What Does the Church Teach on Life Issues, which shows the relationship between the different issues
right.
as we approach elections. What about for radio programs?
Well, we have a great CD. It has these 30-second and one-minute spots. They're professionally done, and they're just ready to present to your radio, local radio station to use. They're great little PSAs. And also, you can use them in schools or before a meeting. Many a times, a school has PA announcements over the PA before the start of the school day. They can play a different spot every day, so high school and college students will get informed about the issues.
These 30-second and one-minute spots on the political responsibility of Christians can also be downloaded from the website as WAVE files or as MP3 files, and people can use them in that way too.
That's correct. And then, you know, a lot of people see you, Father, on our show, and I know you speak. We have other speakers with Gospel of Life that go around the country speaking, but we can only be so many places. We have a DVD of two powerful talks that you have given that people can show to other people where we can't get maybe between now and the election, and this can educate people on political responsibility of Christians.
We also have bulletin inserts for the churches in parish bulletins. We have camera ready, and again, they're either on our website or we can send them to you on paper, camera ready text boxes that give memorable and effective quotations from religious leaders, from scripture, and also just reflections on the political responsibility of Christians, so we urge people to get hold of that as well.
That's right. You know, everyone has to play their part. If we're going to change people's minds and we're going to turn things around in our nation, we've got to educate people. And we need everyone watching this show to really get involved, order one of these resources, and help make the education of Christians happen.
Well, thank you, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters. Again, go to gospeloflife.com, and you'll see how you can educate voters, show them what the positions of candidates are, and above all, get out the vote and work on people getting to the polls. Let's make sure our voices are heard and God's will is advanced in this year's elections. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, Executive Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Father Frank Pavone, Janet Moran, and I want to personally invite you to be a strategic part of this new, exciting, and challenging work. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The objective of Gospel of Life Ministries is to reach out to Christians of all denominations and churches and bring them together in practical ways to proclaim the Gospel of Life and to build a culture of life. If you are a committed Christian, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, church leader, pro-life volunteer, if you have a burden to see believers cooperate together, we'd like to hear from you. To obtain our resources, contact us at Gospel of Life Ministries, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306. Call us at 718-980-4400 and visit us at www.gospeloflife.net.